Welcome to the Heavens Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two millennial Americans who don't really know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heavens Devils podcast, the number one Forest Green Rovers podcast with more ounce to the Jimmy Ball bounce. Well, at least we have more weight.
I think that's true. We've put on the COVID pound, Shimmy.
Yeah, I know. We're trying to come out of it now that things are kind of opening up a little bit. The weather is nice. Trying to get out there, but a lot of heft. A lot of lead to heft.
I know. I feel like this is the most out of shape I've been over the weekend. My wife and I went back to Ohio to visit family, and my mom, my wife, and I all went to work out together and kicked my butt, Shimmy. I'm so out of shape. COVID pounds, baby. And I feel like Chris Paul with the Florida. Jimmy, how are we feeling?
Alright, well, now that you bring up Ohio, gotta give a big shout out to the Green Army out there, right, in Ohio. We saw some really cool, like, designs.
Yes, yeah, shout out to the Green Army who beat us to the merch game. They made a Ohio FGR t-shirt. They used the club's logo. I don't know if they had permission to do that, but anyway, it looked awesome, and it was so cool too because I saw a bunch of people on Twitter like hitting up Chris Sutton and be like, "Yo, can I get that?" So I think he worked with Cincy Shirts. Anyway, awesome stuff. Now we got to get on our game, Shimmy, for FGR NYC and maybe even FGR America. We got to get on our game, Shimmy.
I know.
We need some fire merch like that.
Oh, absolutely. We can't have Cincy and Ohio hold the title. I know you're an Ohioan, so you're beaming with pride. But as someone from Michigan,
true, I am proud.
This cannot stand. This fan aggression will not stand.
There's actually a lot of FGR fans in Michigan, too. So, yeah, get on them. If you're listening, FGR Michigan, you got to step it up, too. Ohio is whooping your butt right now.
But, man, like you said, we love to see it. Love to see that enthusiasm. We love to see, you know, this club take, you know, foot and take a hold in this country.
Yeah.
And long may that continue.
Long may that continue, as they say in the UK. Shout out to Dokes. Well, Shimmy, Cheltenham are promoted, and we are knocked out of the playoffs as it stands right now. Well, Cheltenham are promoted no matter what happens now. They've guaranteed promotion, but we are knocked out of the playoffs.
You know why I think they're promoted now, Nathan? It's just that you don't butcher their name anymore.
Yeah,
like, that was our magic. There's our magic incantation.
As long as I was calling them Cheltenham, they were they were getting smoked. Yeah. But now that I've learned how to pronounce it, yeah, you're right. And I tell you why or how I know how to pronounce it, Shimmy. It's because I just spell it differently. So I spell it Cheltenham, C-H-E-L-T-N-U-M. If you spell it like that, you can say it correctly. It's just like Tottenham. You know, it's not Tottenham. You just spell it T-O-T-N-U-M, Cheltenham. So that's it. That's the secret that I was missing all along, and I found it. So now forever I can pronounce these crazy names like Cheltenham and Tottenham. So I got it, Shimmy. I got it.
Nathan, have you just solved the decades-long crisis of the ugly American tourist? You may have done it. You may have cracked the code. We're going to start pronouncing the names of places right. Before you know it, we're going to...
I wouldn't go that far, Shimmy.
Fair enough.
So anyway, but I'm feeling good, Shimmy, even though we are not going to be promoted. Well, it's not over yet. Even though our chances of promotion are bleak, and even though stupid Cheltenham, as some people call them, Cheltscum. Anyway, Cheltenham are promoted, and we are not. It's okay, because, Shimmy, I didn't want to get promoted with no fans anyway, Shimmy. That's no fun. So we get a full year of League 2 next year, probably. It's not over yet, but a full year of League 2 next year with fans, and that's going to be so much fun. And I take all that back if we do happen to get promoted this year. yeah, so I'll go back in time and edit this in the future if we do get promoted. But anyway, Shimmy, thank you, Shimmy. Thank you, everybody out there, for hanging out with us. We have a packed episode today. First, we will talk about the recent results against the creepy, crawly town, crawl daddies, and tonight's result against the boys from Barrow in Furness in Cumbria. Barrow, who have now, Shimmy, secured League 2 football for themselves next year, and they have knocked us out of the playoffs for the time being. Then we'll preview the next match against Tranmere. Got a little Premier preview, Tranmere mixed up Premier. Anyway, massive match, Jimmy, massive match. Playoffs, you know, looking very unlikely at this point. We obviously got to win these last two games to even have a prayer of playoffs. So we'll talk about that. But, Jimmy, hey, you know what? Wilder things have happened. Anyway, what else? After that, we'll finish up Fashion Police. And apologies in advance, because if you thought last week's Fashion Police was bad, this one is, well, it's actually just as bad. So anyway, do yourself a favor and fast forward through that part. And then we have three outstanding guest days. We have a packed show, Shimmy, packed show. Three outstanding guests. First up, we have legendary Gloucestershire journalist covering the Forest Green Rovers. He's also the founder of the Stroud Times. He's also sometimes a broadcaster of Forest Green Rovers games on the BBC Gloucestershire. Actually, today, he called the match against Barrow for the BBC. He's also a recurring guest and a friend, Ash Loveridge. After that, we have... Let's go, Ash. After that, we have Chief Sustainability Officer from Hanwell Town Football Club and founder of Sustainable Football, Tom, the TH, Tom Rawson. Tom is responsible for making Hanwell Town green following the Forest Green Rovers model. Just an awesome chat with Tom. He was also on the BBC last week, actually, like national. So look at that, Shimmy, going from the BBC to Heaven's Devil's podcast.
A meteoric trajectory.
But I guess right, on the way down, right?
Yeah.
Meteor flying down. Yeah, exactly. And then finally we have on the pod, fellow American, fellow creator of FGR America, all the way from Los Angeles, California, famous Jim Amos. Awesome guy. So anyway, Shimmy, packed show. Let's get into it. Let's drink away our sorrow, Shimmy. What is our beer of the week? Before I die.
You know what it had to be, Nathan. And actually, you had sent me a picture from your trip to Ohio of sipping on one of these. So it inspired the beer of the week, our April partnerships that were announced. It's got to be BrewDog Hazy Jane.
How about a beer?
New England IPA. So it's 7.2% ABV. It's got a little bit of pineapple juice in it, a little bit of mango, and it's got that IPA... kind of piney goodness. So that's what we're sipping on today in honor of BrewDog going vegan, in honor of our four-legged friends, which we also get into with Ash and Jim Amos as well. So this is actually a podcast for
four dogs,
for all mammals on earth.
Let's go. You're right, Jimmy. So I actually I was in Ohio. We went to a bar awesome in Columbus, awesome little bar, awesome food too there. Anyway, I saw on the menu they had BrewDog. I was like, I gotta do it. Gotta get BrewDog for the team. That's it though, Shimmy. I don't think they're vegan. I don't think BrewDog is vegan. I think that some of their beers have milk in them. I saw someone on Twitter say that. I don't know if that's true. Hopefully they'll get rid of that though soon.
Yeah, yeah, because sometimes you have these stouts, you have a certain yeast, I think, right? Or they have like a lacto kind of bacillus thing to them, I believe.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea, Shimmy. What am I, a chemist?
All right. No, you're a physicist.
I have been to a couple brewery tours in my day, but I wasn't paying attention. I was drinking the free beer. Anyway, Jimmy, this beer is exactly what we need right now after that match. Anyway, Jimmy, cheers, Jimmy. Cheers to getting promoted next season with fans, or maybe even this season. We'll see what happens. Cheers to us being in the FGR Audi commercial. That was wild, Jimmy. So cool.
So wild.
Yeah, that was so cool, man. So cool of them to do that. Wild. Cheers to Christian Pulisic. Pulisic. That's another one I can't pronounce, even though he's American. Christian Pulisic, who scored tonight in the Champions League semifinal in what has to be, Shimmy, you might be able to confirm this for me, the first American score in a Champions League semifinal. That's got to be true, right?
Yeah, it's got to be true. Maybe we'll have to get double confirmation from Statman Chris Latham, but...
Yes.
Yeah, man.
We'll have him back next week, by the way. No Statman this week, but we're dying to have him back. He's coming back next week. We'll get confirmation from him. Awesome. And then cheers to the real deal, Jameel. Jameelian goals, Matt. Cheers to Jamma for his League 2 Player of the Season nomination, Jimmy. Massive honor for a massive leader and a man with a massive heart. And a massive number of goals to his name that we could really use right now.
Yeah, so, we really need those desperately, but couldn't have happened to a better human.
Man. Yeah, I'm so happy to see that, man. He deserves it. Cheers to Jamma. Cheers to our fight for the playoffs, Shimmy, no matter how impossible it seems right now. And Shimmy, cheers to all the amazing people we've met on this journey, including Ash Leverage, Tom Rawson, and famous Jim Amos. Win or lose, Shimmy, the relationships we have made through our Forest Green Rovers experience has been awesome. Building community, building family, that's what it's all about, Shimmy. So cheers, my brother.
Oh, cheers, Nathan. You put it so wonderfully. I wouldn't change anything about the season so far and our experiences. Like you said, it ain't over. So we still got those two games, and let's go. Cheers.
Amen. Cheers. And like you said, Shimmy, it ain't over. It's looking over, but it ain't over, Shimmy. It ain't over. Everything can change on Saturday. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's move to the matches first, Shimmy.
One compound word. It's football.
Y'all do not know me. I shoot like I'm Kobe. That boy really tough on his dozy, though. I keep a drinking on OVO.
So first, on last Saturday, we had Crawley Town 0, Forest Green Rovers 0. As FGR earn a point or drop 2 points, depending on how you look at it. And while our table position didn't go up, Dom Bernard's shorts did. Shimmy, those shorts get shorter every match, and I love it, Shimmy. I love it. It's fashion. Anyway, on the positive side, yeah. Shimmy, on Saturday, 2 clean sheets in a row. We saw a much more organized, disciplined defense under Jimmy Ball. We saw a huge change in energy, a huge change in the way that the boys played and the attack. In the Crawley match, you know, we were the better team in that match. We created so many excellent chances from a ton of players. A-Ron, Hubbard, Collins, Odin, the Norse God, Bailey, Iron Maiden, Jaden, Richardson, Big Daddy, Kane, all stood out to me. Also, shout out to Drippy Dom. He had a chance on goal. He's got to get a goal before the season's over. Anyway, but Shimmy, we just could not find the back of the net, Shimmy. It was like the players have just seen Seaspiracy, Shimmy, and they are protesting the use of nets, which I applaud, but there are better ways to do it than not scoring goals, boys. All right, Shimmy, what do you think about Saturday? Quick thoughts, and then we'll move to this barrel match.
Yeah, we'll keep it quick. I think my barrel thoughts will be even quicker, but I totally agree. We just had the chances. We were the better team. Playing a team that's, you know, kind of much lower than us, it's something that's we've experienced all season. You know, we, for the most part, stepped up in the really, really big head-to-head matches, you know, given a few exceptions. But, man, we so deserve to win on the style of play, on the aggression. It just didn't happen. But love the clean sheet.
Love the clean sheet. Love the energy. Love the attack. Love the chance creation. But, oh, man, just could not buy a goal, Shimmy. Could not buy a bucket, as we say here in the U.S. What's the NBA Jam thing?
Yeah, it's like,
can't buy a bucket.
Can't buy a bucket.
Hopefully it's on
fire. Man, NBA Jam, what a game.
I know, yeah. It's really warping my sense of what sports were for probably the next decade. But, yeah, so much fun playing that game as a kid.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean as a kid, Shimmy? I was playing that game like 5 years ago.
Nice.
I really was. Shout out to Yanni. Shout out to Kostas. In Greece, we would have like NBA Jam tournaments. It was so fun. Anyway, Shimmy, let's move on to tonight. Tuesday night in Nailsworth. And our scoring woes continue, Shimmy. FGR 0, Barrow 2. Third match in a row, we are held goalless as Barrow secure League 2 play next year with tonight's win. And Forest Green Rovers are knocked out of the top 7 and knocked out of the playoff spots for the first time since October. I'm pretty sure that's correct. We got to get Statman on that.
Yep.
Anyway, a clumsy foul in the box gave Scott Quigley the game's first goal from the penalty spot in the 18th minute. And then Bobby Thomas sealed the deal in the 25th minute with a goal. And, Shimmy, we don't look like we're going to score the rest of the season, Shimmy. Make me feel better, Shimmy.
It's tough, man. We just leave so many chances wanting. And if you fall behind, you know, we're chasing the game. We managed to do it in Jimmy Ball's first game in charge, so that was really heartening. But, man. Yeah, we need the ball bounce to happen a couple of more times in the next few games. But, you know, I still have just faith in these guys. Like, just because there's a lot of averages and numbers, like, the ball's got to go in at some point, right?
You're right. Like, we are due for a goal. I mean, like, we create so many good chances. These guys are good players, man. I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get why we cannot score. I don't get it, Shimmy.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Like, you know what? It's coming. It's that gambler logic again, Shimmy. We're due for a goal. We're due for a bunch of goals, actually, and they're going to come on Saturday against Tranmere. But anyway, let's say a little bit more about the Sparrow one. It was tough, Shimmy. It was tough. And I think it's so evident, you know, the impact of losing these veteran leaders and great players like Dan Sweeney, Elliot Whitehouse, Jameel Matt, and as we already said, losing also Jameel Matt's goals. Man, that hurts. Like, losing all that veteran leadership, that experience, it's really hurting us down the stretch. And then on top of that, Shimmy, we lose our chance creator, Tricky Nicky of House Cat and Shimmy.
I know.
Shimmy, injuries. Ugh. They killed us. They impact every team, Shimmy. But, you know, I just feel like, you know, we've been hit exceptionally hard this year. I mean, Jameel Matt was a nominee for Player of the Season, Shimmy, and he's been out 8 matches. And, by the end of this, we'll be out the final 10 matches of down the home stretch.
Right.
That's brutal,
yeah.
Shimmy. That is brutal. And I feel like on top of, you know, our inability to put away chances, I think injuries have also cost us big time. But Shimmy, fortunes can change quickly in this sport. And while it doesn't look like we're going to score, let alone win again the rest of the season, it all changes Saturday, Shimmy. It all changes Saturday against Tranmere. Shimmy, if we have any hope of the playoffs, we have to win the last two. We have to win the last two. Now that we're eighth, we have to win the last two and hope good things happen in the other matches. We no longer control our own destiny, which is a problem. But luckily, Shimmy, we have a very easy matchup on Saturday because we play lowly little Tranmere, who are only checks notes meme, who are only, what, fourth in the table? No, fifth in the table right now at 72 points. They are still, they still have a chance of automatics, actually, so they're still potentially battling automatics. And they still haven't mathematically been guaranteed playoffs. So, yeah, they got everything to play for, Shimmy. Not the game you want heading into the last two.
Or maybe it is. Maybe it is because between our two teams.
Go ahead, Shimmy. Go off king. Go off king because I was about to say that too. Go, Shimmy.
Go off king. It's happening. Well, you know, if there's ever a match where the boys don't need any extra motivation, it's playing down our arch rival, this team that we have history with, Tranmere Rovers. You know, we always want to kind of win at their expense. And like you said, they're in the automatic hunt too. So they want it, we want it. So like I said, you know, what other great opportunities are going to be to break this duck of scoring where we just haven't scored the past few matches. So I know you're constantly sipping on that Tranmere haterade over at your place,
I am.
Nathan. So I like us to bring that spirit, have like the cup final sort of mentality in our penultimate game.
I love it, Shimmy. And I think you're right. Shimmy. We have both noticed this throughout the year. It seems like we oftentimes play the level of our competition. Mm-hmm. We beat teams that are at the top of the table. We lose the teams that are at the bottom of the table, which happened today, by the way. Actually, we need Statman on for that because I would love to hear our stats against like the bottom whatever. I think they're bad because I know we lost to Southend too. Grimsby, I don't remember. Anyway, we do seem to play to the level of our competition, so maybe that's going to happen again. Even though when we played Tranmere the first time, we played awful. We almost came back, actually. Didn't really deserve to come back, but we played awful the first time around against Tranmere. But maybe, Shimmy, everything's on the line here. Like you said, we trust the boys. We back the boys. Maybe this is it, Shimmy. This is what we need. It would be a massive win. Shimmy, we're doing it. You've instilled belief in me.
Hey,
we're doing it, Shimmy. We are winning. We are beating the Tranmere Rovers. I'm going to bleep that out.
Yeah.
We are beating them, Shimmy. So anyway, I love it. You've reinstilled this confidence in me. We got 2 games left. Everything to play for. So let's do it, baby. Up the Rovers, baby. Up the Rovers. I'm feeling good now. I'm feeling back on track.
Up these Rovers, man. Let's do it.
Up those vegan Rovers, Shimmy. Jimmy Ball season is here. We've only lost one match in Jimmy Ball's history, in Jimmy Ball's career as our head coach, Jimmy. Right. We've only lost one match, and Jimmy Ball has never lost two in a row.
True, true. So, he's not about to start.
He's not about to start now. And speaking of Jimmy Ball, I don't know, did you hear his post-match interview against Crawley, or after Crawley?
I did.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
You couldn't hear anything. It was just wind. It was amazing. I'm going to drop a clip in that here, but yeah. Anyway, yeah. Hilarious.
We haven't won today, no, but importantly, we didn't lose either. The defensive unit stayed focused, concentrated, didn't get frustrated, and made sure we came away with something, which is massively important. And yes, I've been around a long time, never seen anything like that. That was...
Let's move to Fashion Police. Let's finish Fashion Police. Once and for all, for the good of our listeners, for the good of this pod, let's get rid of Fashion Police forever today, or maybe until next season. Then we'll go to Ash Leverage. Then we'll go to Tom Rawson, and finally finish up with famous Jim Amos. Apologies, as we already said at the top, in advance for Fashion Police. Yeah. This is truly horrific. It's just as bad as last week.
We've been sent a cease and desist letter from the entire state of Louisiana. and
whatever accent I was trying to do, and everyone in London who speaks with a Cockney accent.
Yeah, and I'm currently crafting my Apple Notes apology as we speak.
Oh, well, they don't know yet, but on this one, you do a guy from the bayou in Louisiana who's trying to do a Cockney accent.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? The only saving grace to this Fashion Police is that it's actually shorter, much shorter than last week's one, so that's good. But you could just do yourself a favor and skip the next 3 minutes so you get straight to Ash. But anyway, here we go, Fashion Police.
Nails, hair, hips, heels, face, done, lips, real, purse, full, big bills, yes, I'm a big deal.
Number two for me, Shimmy, number two, Bradford City. Ain't nothing like those Galatasaray, Roma, probably some other team, colors. The gold, amber, and maroon, whatever, claret. Oh, my goodness. Shimmy. Bradford City, number two. Smart thing. Kit.
Yeah, you'll get it.
What do you got, number two?
I guarantee you, feast for the eyes.
Feast for the eyes.
All right, my number two is Leighton Orient. Well, I have to give a big shout out to our man Julian. He was so wise in educating us about Leighton Orient. Sorry, this is a Bayou guy doing a Cockney accent. But more than the colors, I love their sponsor, the Thank You to the Essential Workers. But for real, I'm just going to take a break. I just love that they're repping those folks that have tried to keep people safe in this unprecedented year. I just love that they use their shirt, and every time they play, all over the world, whether you're in the UK or the US, those essential workers, whether they're medical professionals, the grocers, every part of society stepped up to make sure that, a terrible year didn't have to be any worse than it already was, so... Shout out to Leighton Orient for that.
Very well said. I agree. I think it was Harry Kane, too, who donated a bunch of money that maybe enabled. I don't know, actually, if that's true. Anyway, but yeah, I agree. Awesome sponsor. Shout out to Leighton Orient. I think that's a very classy number two. All right, back to Deputy Nate. Back to Deputy Sean. Here we go. My number one. Drum roll. Actually, maybe we should say it at the same time because I think we got
the
same one.
Say it at the same time. It'll sound weird because I'm sure we both have different answers.
But, all right, here we go. Three. Right,
drum roll.
Drum roll. Three, two, one. The Forest
Green Rovers.
Green Rovers.
Okay.
Forest Green Rovers.
Who else?
The Electric Green.
Who else?
The Zebra Kits, or as we say in the UK, the Zebra. Who else? The best kit in League 2. Shimmy Sham Shango.
Yeah,
Detective Shum.
Yeah, line them up. Even though from A to Zebra, Forest Green Rovers.
A to Zebra
are the winners, hands down. Fashion, drip, sustainability, coffee in the shirt. They're taking all the boxes, man. Love it.
Amen.
I feel proud of making that every time I walk outside here on a weekend after a match day. you know, going to get a coffee or just going for a stroll, feel proud wearing that kit, man.
Let's go. Let's go. Well, there we go. I'm Deputy Nathan.
And as law enforcement here have to do, we have to announce our names. I'm Deputy Sean.
And that was Fan Boat Fashion Patrol. Police. What'd you say?
Fan Boat Patrol on the bayou, down here on the bayou.
I don't play, I slay. I don't walk, I strut, and then sashay. But I don't work for free.
All right, Jimmy, Fashion Police. That's it. Over for the season. Thank the Lord. That's done. Any final thoughts on Fashion Police, Jimmy?
May it never continue. We'll play on what we've learned this season.
May it long continue. May it never continue. All right, Jimmy, let's get into our chat with the legend of Gloucestershire journalism, the creator of the Stroud Times, occasional Forest Green Rovers broadcaster for the BBC, as he was today, an all-around great man, Ashley Loveridge. We talk some nonsense. We talk some FGR. We talk about his new venture, the Stroud Times. But to put this chat in context, also, we recorded this before the Barrow result tonight, and actually even before Crawley as well. So the chat is probably a bit more positive on FGR's chances than how we all might feel now. But you know what? Let's use that positivity. Let's get that positivity back, because it ain't over. It ain't over.
It ain't over.
It ain't over. All right, Ash, bring us some positivity, brother. So how have you been, Ash?
Yeah, I've been good, thank you. What's happened to your beard? What's happened to your beard?
My beard.
Mountain man. I'm a mountain man. Getting that way. It's that time of work has been really busy. Now until the end of June, it's going to be super busy at work. So it's probably have a philosopher's beard by that time.
I'm feeling a bit like Samson at the moment when he's had all his hair cut off. I'm feeling like a weaker man. So there you go.
Well, luckily, anyway, that's a good thing about hair, Ash. It'll grow back.
It will grow back. Yeah.
Well, shall we get into it? Stroud. We want to ask about FGR, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Ash, we want to play a little game with you if you're down. A little game of Interrogate. I don't know if you've seen this game yet. It's sweeping the nation. Interrogate, Ash. It's fast questions, faster answers.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and we just want to ask you to respond immediately with the first thing that comes to your mind. Doesn't have to be right. Doesn't have to be wrong. There are no wrong answers actually here, Ash. It's all that matters is the speed. The speed at which you respond.
Yeah.
No hesitation. Okay. Whatever comes to your mind first. So for example, I could say, Ash, how many songs did the Beatles make?
Three,
perfect. Perfect, you got it. You got the hang of it.
That's
already.
That's the first thing that came into my mind.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah.
You nail it. And I think you're going to be good at this game because I remember when we did Cover Your Ash, I was blown away by your response to Cover Your Ash.
Yeah.
This is way easier to Cover Your Ash. You don't have to come up with, you know, crazy headlines on the spot. So here we go. Ash Loveridge, Interrogate, fast questions, faster answers. First question, and we're going to go rapid fire. Ash, in Nailsworth, it's illegal to do what?
Smoke.
Greatest 1980s smoke. What's the greatest 1980s Gloucestershire rock band?
Marillion.
How old is U18's performance analyst Jake Edwards?
3.
What is Jimmy Ball's favorite store in the Five Valley Center?
The falafel store.
What? You're killing this. What is Billy Hunt doing right now?
Picking his ears.
Picking his ears. That's what Billy. All right, here we go. Two more. What's the title of Jilly Cooper's romance novel that you were a character in?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And last but not least, 2021's best new site in Stroud is what?
Stroud Times.
Let's go.
Hey.
No hesitation. As expected, you killed that. And I think that's why you're so good on the radio too. And why, I mean, you got so much practice with it. One, you know, when you cover the games. And two, you got to write these headlines and these stories like that and then submit them off to the BBC, the Sky. So you're a natural, Ash. You've had years of training.
The
processing speed is super fast.
It's very nice of you to say. Even at my grand old age, the brain is still working.
We got to follow up on one of the questions there in Interrogate, Ash. Is it true that you drove Jilly Cooper home from a Mansfield town away game once?
I'd like to say it's true, but no. Where did you hear that?
Or
have you just made it up? No, not me.
We very well could have made it up, but no, Henry. We had Henry on the last episode. He wasn't sure, but he told us the story where Jilly Cooper, Mansfield Town, got a helicopter to fly Jilly Cooper for her to the game, but they didn't make arrangements to get her back.
No, it was a one-way ticket. Area.
Yeah. And so Henry said, I think someone just drove her back. It might have been Ash.
No, I've only got one of those funny little cars. A car called a smart car, which is a little two-seater thing.
We have those in New York City.
Yeah, they're called smart cars. They're engineered by Mercedes. So if ever I'm out on a date with a lady, which is not very often these days, and she asks me, what car have I got? I say, oh, well, I drive a Mercedes. And you get this sort of materialistic, well, hey.
But you're not lying, though.
No, I'm not lying. But no, I wouldn't have taken Jilly Cooper home because it's only a little two-seater. And probably if she'd brought one of her lurcher dogs along, then it wouldn't have fitted in the back, really.
Can you bring dogs into the grounds?
No.
Stadiums?
No, although saying that, didn't they have a dog on social media this week? Oh, they launched
that. They did, yeah.
That's a brew dog.
Yeah. So there you go. I thought that was a real neat idea. I'm not sure who came up with that one, but they possibly Connor, possibly Noah. Mm-hmm. Maybe Henry, because Henry's pretty got a smart thinking brain on him. So hats off whoever thought that. But what did you think? It was cool, wasn't it?
Oh, very cool. And wild, cool, too. The Budweiser thing happened like on the same day. The Budweiser ad?
The billboard. Yeah.
What was that? So did Budweiser just put a billboard up like right by the stadium?
Yeah. Do you know what? When I saw that on social media, I thought, is this some sort of delayed April Fool or something?
Yeah, so, same.
Photoshop job. So,
all the beer companies are fighting over us. It's a good place to be in.
Yeah. Because... Well, they're always pushing the envelope at Forest Green, aren't they? Yeah. A couple of years ago, when we had the elections, the general election, not the recent one, the one before that. Obviously, Dale Vince was backing Labour and David Drew. But what the Conservatives did on that field, they must have known the farmer or owned the field. They put a big Vote Conservative sign above.
Oh, wow.
Above the stadium. So, and it was definitely a slight dig at the politics of Dale and Forest Green. But what's really amazing about Dale is that he just shrugs those sort of things off and found it probably. I got the feeling he found it mildly amusing. You know, it didn't really.
You can picture that.
Yeah, it didn't really irritate him, you know?
Yeah, so, he was featured on a news magazine program here just recently, CBS Sunday Morning, right? CBS this morning. It was really cool to see.
Yeah, I saw that, I saw that today. I think somebody from Forest Green must have shared it. And at first, the guy that was interviewing him, or doing the interviews, I thought he was the Sea Shepherd guy, because he's a sort of great.
Yeah. He was a little gruff.
Yeah, he looked exactly like him, to be fair. And that Sea Shepherd guy, what an inspirational guy he is as well.
So what did you make of the whole Super League thing, Ash?
Well, a lot of people have been upset about it, haven't they? But I'm not a fan of Premier League football, so you know, I'm a Forest Green man, and you know, the type of clubs that you can feel a bit of a link to, you know, and have conversations like we have, and feel really part. I mean, you guys must feel such a big part of Forest Green, and it's a big part of your lives, isn't it?
Yeah, it really has become that. I love Forest Green. I love League 2 and hopefully League 1, but so much more than the... I found so much more joy in it than the Premier League. Most importantly, because of the, like you said, the relationships that you're able to build, because it is a small community.
That's great.
That's the best part. And then also, on the entertainment, on the football side of things, also League Two is just so much more competitive than the Premier League. Like, we don't even know who's going to win yet, and there's only, what, four, well, at the time of this recording, four games left, although this is going to come out next Wednesday, so by then there will be two games left. But
And
we might know by the time this comes out, but at the time of this recording, we don't know who's going to win League Two. We don't know who's going to get promoted from League Two. It's so competitive. Mm. It's so exciting. Mm.
Right. Premier League gets decided in January, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly. And also, I think, you know, if you were covering a Premier League club like you cover Forest Green, there's probably no chance you would have interviewed any of the players. Or the chairman.
But Ash, you're the connector, man. You're the one who has connected us to so many people, including Dale.
Well, I mean, I thought it was quite nice the other week when you did the piece with Scott Lindsay, because I mean, your ethos is the fun and jokes and stuff, which I think is really good. But you did also prove that you can, when needs be, you can do something that is slightly more serious, I guess.
Connecting us to Scott, because you know, we didn't know Scott before that. We'd only heard about him from fans, and fans adore Scott Lindsay. So we've heard so many good things, and then to get to meet him, to chat with him, and the 20 minutes that we recorded was fantastic. But then, you know, we spent an hour afterwards.
Conversation still continued,
and I was just blown away by Scott. So I'd love to see him back, you know, at Forest Green someday, just based on that conversation. Just such a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people were hoping that, obviously, when Jimmy Ball took over as interim after Mark left, that there was going to be a little way back in for Scott, possibly, you know, to help with the coaching team. Because obviously, at the moment, Scott's team aren't playing, so he is available. Really, he could actually be loaned to the club, but you know, he's in the frame, isn't he? For the, you know, if you read Laurie Martin's piece the other day, that he was named as a potential manager, and you know, I'm sure he'll, you know, he may get the shortlist. Who knows, really? So
do you have any thoughts about that, Ash?
It's very hard to second guess Dale, really, because he's such a unique person. Do you know what? I think he might do a possible, obviously, a head coach. I mean, if Jimmy Ball gets the team into the Football League, sorry, into the Football League, into League One, he's got to be in with a shout, hasn't he? In my opinion.
Yeah, and you know, he seems, I didn't know anything about him, and in the interviews and his communication with fans, even on Twitter, like, he just seems like such a good guy as well, and a soon to be fan favorite. He seems very positive. Watching the team and the match against Scunthorpe and Exeter, you can see like a change in their energy in our view, like I feel like they really buy into him and also buy into themselves. I feel like they lost some confidence for a while, and it really looks like they've got it back.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've been privileged to be there and watch the games live. It's completely the team dynamic, everything about them seems completely different. But I think that often happens when you have a change of manager. It's quite a common thing in football. They call it the new manager banks, don't they?
Or the ball
banks, we could call it. But there seems to be a bit more of a fluidity about the team and the way the team's set up. And suddenly, I mean, I thought the other night, you know, Mark Cooper used to say you need everyone to be 7 out of 10. They've now become 7 out of 10 for the last two games. All of them have, I thought, really stepped up. Yeah, I think the managerial ethos for Jimmy Ball is just complete and utter encouragement all the time. I watched him the other night, and maybe it's because he's been in youth coaching as well. Maybe it's different with youth coaching dynamic, but there just seems to be this positivity, this hand clapping, he claps all the time, and even if he disagrees with the referee or something, he's still quite angry, but in a calmer way, you know?
So Ash, tell us about the Stroud Times. What is it? Why did you start? How's it going?
I had an idea last summer. Obviously, I was made redundant from the Stroud News, which I'd been at for 18 years. And I always felt I was a bit shackled there, really, because I had ideas the company is a company called NewsQuest, and they're also owned by an American company called Gannett. Do you know Gannett?
Oh, yeah. They're a big newspaper.
Yeah. So they are part of, so NewsQuest are part of Gannett. So our owners, or my old owners, are an American news corporation. What they tend to focus on is what we call over here clickbait. It's stuff that isn't actually happening in your area, in where we are in Stroud. And they will also do horrible court stories, car crashes. And I just felt, you know what, people need a bit of positive news, especially as the way the world is at the moment. And sure, there was, yeah. And I was noticing on social media the real outpouring of anger and aggression towards that publication. So they would do stories about Meghan Markle and Harry, people would just go crazy. You don't need to see that in a local paper, but it kind of probably gets them web hits in a way, but not the right web hits. So I thought, you know what, there is an opportunity here for me to try and give something a go. And so I teamed up with a web designer who I've worked with, and another guy who's a videographer. And so we teamed up, and we've just given it a go. So it's what we call hyper-local news, and it's stuff about personalities, characters, people's achievements, human interests. It's been going for 6 weeks now, and it seems to be taking off. But people will say things like, well, how are you going to make a, it's probably your next question, you know, how are you going to make a living at it? The response from businesses in Stroud has just been absolutely mind-blowing.
That's awesome.
I thought that I would have to go to people to say, hey, would you like an advert? Hey, would you like a feature? But the phone is just literally off the hook with people wanting to get involved. And what they tend to do, they'll ring and say, I'll sort of say, well, we're new. Why us? Well, we just like the functionality of the website. There's no pop-up adverts. Uh-huh. There's no subscription. It's about people. It's working, you know? I've created a monster, I think.
I'm sure you're on the phone all the time now.
Yeah.
You can see two things, though. I love that. I didn't know that was like the impetus of it, that you wanted to be this like positive news source when there's so much negativity out there. That's awesome. And I was going to tell you, like, that shines through. I didn't even know that was the intention, but it shines through. And the other thing is, we can see how busy you are. Like, we see you on these coach, you know, on the manager Zooms, you know, where you're talking to the four screen manager, and you're always like on site at some weird location, some business around the crowd. Like, where are you? Yeah. Oh, I'm in the garden at this whatever pub. You can tell you're a busy man, you're bouncing around. That's awesome.
A journalist to the marrow.
Somebody who I respect tremendously, when I was made redundant from the Stroud News, said that the bean counters of NewsQuest do not know the value of your worth. And because I think I was just another number on a sheet, wasn't I? I know that my former employers have had a crisis meeting about what I was doing to see what they could do about it. But we're so different. We're different news gathering operations. You know, the stuff we go for is completely different. I think also the fact that I worked for nearly 19 years at the Stroud News and Journal, I've got to know everybody through the. It was a wonderful, privileged job to have, but I embedded myself in my community. So, I mean, hopefully when you guys come over at some point to Stroud, we'll have a little tour around Stroud. But
yes, we'd love that.
I think we'd ask for a better guide, you know?
Yeah, I do know absolutely everybody. You know,
I don't doubt that at all.
Please, what you've have you had a chance to look at the website, my website?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. And I feel like it's very Forest Green heavy too. So I love the Forest Green content. I've been hitting up. I love Frank's articles too. Frank Talk.
Yeah, he's a good writer.
Or to be
Frank.
Yeah, yeah. To be Frank. So, are you guys gonna have him on it sometime?
We would love to, Ash. We would love to, actually. We have a friend here. I think I mentioned him to you. He grew up in Slad, which is like a little village, I guess, outside of Stroud. Mm-hmm. He lives here in New York City now, but a lifelong Forest Green fan. And he was like, oh, it'd be really cool if you guys get like legends from my era when he was like a kid growing up there. He was like, it'd be really great if you get some legends like, Paul Hunt, Mike Kilgore, Alex Sykes. Steve Perrin,
yeah.
And Frank. And Frank, the manager who kind of led them up. We'd love to do an episode with Frank and maybe with some of these other like old, you know, legends.
Yeah, you should.
All right, Ash, thank you so much. Find Ash on Twitter at AshLoveridge10. Find the Stroud Times at Stroud Times or on the internet, stroudtimes.com. Ash, man, always good to chat with you. I cannot wait to grab beers with you, maybe some brew dogs, or hit the wool pack in, whatever. We got to grab beers in Gloucestershire, man. I cannot wait.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
Glad to see that you're off to such a great start with the Stroud Times and continued success.
Thank you very much, guys. It's always great to see you guys. So thank you.
Oh, cheers, Ash. Ashley Loveridge. Always awesome to catch up with Ash, man. Love that guy. And speaking of awesome guys, Shimmy. Let's move on to Tom Rawson. Tom Rawson, the founder of Sustainable Football and the chief sustainability officer for Hanwelltown FC, who, inspired by FGR's lead, is in the process of making Hanwelltown Football Club a carbon-neutral football club. Shimmy, we got to go there. We got to check it out. We got to check out Hanwelltown. I think it's called Reynolds Field. We got to check that out, Shimmy, when we go to the UK.
Yeah, man. It's awesome to see this trend spreading, so I'm down.
Let's do it. Let's go hit up some Isthmian League football in London, baby. I think that's how you... Isthmian? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know how they pronounce it down on the bayou. Okay, we're not going there. We're not going there. No, it's done. We're not going there.
The people want to hear... All right, tune in next time. All right, take it away, Tom. We welcome to the pod the Chief Sustainability Officer for Hanwelltown Football Club, the Heaven's Devils podcast official Isthmian League South Central Division team. And by the way, let me tell you, there was a lot of competition for that title. Tooting and Mitcham United, man, they've been all over us, DMing us every day. I don't even want to tell you about the gifts that Waltham Abbey has sent us. But we are Geordies through and through. Anyway, in addition to his work at Hanwelltown, our guest is also the founder of Sustainable Football, and he's a proper Burnley supporter. Many have called this man the Sean Dyche of defending the environment. He goes by the name of Tom Rawson. Welcome to the pod, Tom.
Thank you so much for having me. I've never had such a good introduction before.
Well, good is subjective. And Tom with a TH, too. I've only known one Tom with a TH in my life. Tom Matheson, went to high school with him. Shout out to Tom Matheson. Actually, he lives in London now. It must be a London thing, because you live in London too, right?
Not too far away.
Okay, nice. Yeah, maybe it's a London thing. Although he changed his name, the Tom I know, he changed his name to Sebastian Tribby. I don't know. Maybe he didn't like the T. Anyway, he's actually a very low-level Instagram influencer in London. But anyway, not relevant to anything that we're here to talk about, other than that you're the second Tom in my life. And we didn't bring you on to discuss the spelling variations of Tom, although I'm sure that would be some very compelling content. We brought you on to talk about the amazing green work that you're doing at our sibling club, Hanwelltown Football Club, based in London. Just to kick it off, could you give us just a fun fact about Hanwelltown?
You called us the Geordies there, and that's all about our link to Newcastle United. So we were founded in 1920 by a group of railway workers from Newcastle. They set up a club with the black and white stripes, and we're still called the Geordies.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I noticed, I saw a poll, Hanwelltown like posted a poll on Twitter the other day, like, hey, where are all of our fans coming from? And it was a big proportion of them coming from Newcastle, which is great.
Yeah, the Twitter following among Newcastle fans has taken off in the past.
that's, That's awesome. Also, I saw that that you're the groundskeeper is also the central defender for the team.
That used to be the case, yeah.
Oh, okay. He's moved on to greener pastures. No pun intended.
What is sustainable football, and why did you start it? How did you get involved with making Hanwell Town green?
Yo, sustainable football is my kind of project to help football clubs become more sustainable. I think there's lots of opportunity for clubs to be able to do that. And obviously, Forest Green Rovers are a huge inspiration to lots of clubs, both at kind of non-league and grassroots level, and also, you know, the Premier League and the highest levels of football. So I think there's lots of opportunity for football to decarbonise, to create less waste, and to be more friendly to nature. And so I'm trying to bring that knowledge and that expertise to football clubs and kind of open their eyes to the opportunities there.
Awesome. And you mentioned Forest Green Rovers there. Could you just how have Forest Green Rovers guided your work?
Well, they're almost like they've almost created this kind of checklist of like all the great activities that a club could could implement. You know, across all of those areas. So they are a model, and they've proven that it can be successful, and they've proven that it can sit alongside success on the pitch as well. So improvement on and off the pitch is what we're all about at Hanwell Town, and that's so yeah, that's Forest Green Rovers is absolutely a model that we're looking up to.
Nice. So what does it mean to be a net zero football club?
Yeah, well, net zero refers to carbon, and so for an organisation to be net zero, it basically means you've reduced your carbon emissions as far as kind of technologically feasible. And for the remainder, you know, because there will always be a remainder of carbon emissions that are very difficult to get rid of, you're offsetting, basically removing the carbon from the atmosphere. And the most common way of doing that is by planting an equivalent amount of trees. So to become net zero is to reduce as far as possible and then to offset the rest. That's quite a difficult task, that reduction, because it's not just from your operations, not just the energy you use, and the fuel you burn, but also your wider impact. So as a football example, that includes support and travel. And that might, you know, that might include international travel for clubs that are playing European football games. So to become net zero is quite a significant challenge. And science tells us that we need to do it. All organisations need to do it. And, you know, the world needs to do it before 2050 for us to avoid the worst impacts of climate change. And so an appropriate goal might be 2030. It's kind of more than realistic for clubs to achieve net zero by 2030 if they set their minds to it now and are ambitious enough to set that commitment.
So that brings us to another question involving the, you know, project of sustainability in football. So what is a circular football club and the circular economy?
Yeah, well, circularity focuses more on, it's kind of linked to climate change as well, but it focuses more on waste and resources. So to become circular would mean to, from the very beginning, kind of operate as a football club in a way that avoids the creation of waste in the first place, and then incorporates principles like reusing and sharing. So it's all about how you're sourcing things. So where you're trying to avoid buying brand new, and whether you can find ways to maybe lease products and services, or share, or find ways to get things secondhand. In non-league football, I think like Hanwell's level, making the best value out of your resources and finding ways to do things more efficiently. You know, understanding the value of things is very much inherent to how the club operates. And there's an example, Hanwell Town is not far from Brentford Football Club. They've recently moved from Griffin Park to a new community stadium. And in the process of moving, Hanwell kind of inherited, you know, tables, chairs, equipment, stadium seating.
Oh, wow.
Griffin Park, which is an incredible example of circular economy in action, because in another world, all of that stuff could have gone to waste, gone to landfill, and you know, the club would have been buying all this stuff brand new, using kind of new resources. So that's a kind of example of how clubs can implement circularity and a good principle to manage a club by, if it's going to be environmentally friendly.
That's so cool. That's fascinating. I never even thought about that. Yeah. That's awesome.
The scoreboard was taken from Man City, actually.
Really? That's
I love it.
That's so cool. That's wild, man.
Is there anything specifically that you guys are doing at Hanwell Town to address problems either in the supply chain or, like you said, what's within your remit at the stadium or around the club?
Yeah, there's a few things that we're hoping to implement before the start of the season. We want to make the match day experience next season a much more sustainable one. So some examples of what we'll be doing will be the floodlights will be LED, so lower energy technology for next season. Be introducing, as I say, vegan options onto the menu. We did a Twitter poll that showed that around 25% of our fans wanted a vegetarian or vegan option, so it's good for the matchday experience as well as carbon emissions. We will be serving drinks in reusable plastic cups rather than disposable ones, so creating a lot less waste from the drink itself. So a kind of range of different things, and lots more too that will change the matchday experience, hopefully to a more sustainable matchday experience.
That's awesome. And the vegan stuff, I'm telling you, it's not just, I mean, yes, it's good for the environment, it's good for the animals. Shama and I are both vegans, but it's also good for business. You're going to get, you know, you're going to attract a new type of fan to the ground, which is going to be awesome. You know, I'm sure there are vegans in that area who are like, well, as soon as they hear that you guys are serving vegan stuff, they're just going to show up to try it and just to be a part of this football club that's doing something that kind of aligns with their values and lifestyle. So I think it's awesome. And so most of our listeners, Tom, this may come as a surprise to you, but most of our listeners are not owners of football clubs. So what actions can they take, or can we take, really, as individuals who love football, what actions can we take to promote a more sustainable football future?
Well, as we've kind of discussed, one of the big kind of emissions associated with football is supporter travel. So one thing that was very much within a supporter's remit is to take sustainable transport options to games and think about how you're getting there, what the carbon impact of that is. But I think more generally, to put pressure on clubs, and that might be the wrong way of terming it, but you know, encouraging clubs to look at this sort of thing and think about this sort of thing. Everyone's got a local club, and pointing, you know, I think a lot of clubs just haven't got an awareness that this is a route to take, and they might look at Forest Green Rovers and say, yeah, that's something that they're doing, but you know, that's them and this is us. But really, these are changes that football's going to need to start making, and as is you know, across society. Supporters have a really important role in making clear that this is something that's important to them. And I think increasingly it's going to be clear that supporters, you know, maybe not just supporters, but like players, staff, sponsors, everyone's going to be looking at football clubs that they're involved with and wanting them to reflect their own values. Mm-hmm. And I think then, therefore, supporters have a really key role in making clear to clubs that this is something that they're looking for, this is something that they want from their clubs, want to see purpose and action on sustainability. And the steps are all there. You know, you can look at you know, the articles I've written or the steps that other clubs have taken, and there's a really clear checklist of activities that clubs can take. And you know, lots of the early steps are basically cost free, and they're easy to implement. They're just about awareness.
Yeah, very cool. Awesome. Yeah, and you know, Nathan has probably mentioned it, but that's what drew us to Forest Green Rovers, the fact that it would reflect the values that we had about sustainability and the environment, which is something we don't normally associate with sport in general. You know, we're two Midwestern boys in the US, so sports is like, you know, out of the crib, you're basically into sports. But to finally see a club that's reflecting where we are now and what our values are has been really kind of a blast. One last question, a little more lighthearted. We know Burnley is your Premier League team, Tom. Hanwell Town FC are your Isthmian League South Central Division team. Hopefully I pronounced that right. Are Forest Green Rovers your League 2 or soon to be League 1 team, we hope? Can we call you a Forest Green Rovers supporter as well?
I think you can call me that, yeah.
Let's go!
Hey,
building the Green
right.
Army, let's go! Oh, all right. Awesome. So you can find Tom on Twitter at THXMRA. Follow Hanwell Town FC at Hanwell Town FC, and follow his organization, Sustainable Football, at Sus Football, which, by the way, has a different connotation here in the U.S. I don't know if it's like that over there, but we use the term sus. It means like, technically, suspicious. It means suspicious, but it's like, yeah. So anyway, it's a UK brand, so don't worry about that. But if you ever expand to the US, Tom, you might want to think about rebranding that. Tom, thank you so much for coming on. This was awesome. Best of luck, continued success. Keep doing the amazing work that you're doing, and I hope we can grab a vegan pint at Reynolds Field someday, man.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank
Cheers.
You.
Awesome chat with Tom. Ah, very cool. Like you said, it's just so cool to see other clubs following FGR's lead and making football a greener sport, which it's got to be. It has to be.
Yeah. And I'm glad we're just not at that greenwashing stage anymore, you know, because I think it was one of those things where it was just a nice thing to put up, you know, make a commercial for, put up a poster. But it's awesome to see clubs take this sustainability project seriously.
Totally agree. And big shout out to Tom too, man. Tom, he left his job to go do this, to pursue this passion for good, and it's awesome, and best of luck to him. Best of luck to Hanwell Town FC. Best of luck to Sustainable Football, Tom's organization that he created. Awesome stuff. Awesome chat with Tom. Really appreciate you, Tom. All right, Shimmy, let's go to famous Jim Amos. Jim is the COO of Scout22, a marketing firm focused mainly on plant-based brands, and he's also an FGR fan out of Los Angeles. And finally, Shimmy, he is, along with us, the co-creator of FGR America. Yeah. Awesome guy.
Yeah, love
famous Jim Amos.
Oh, yeah, no, also an animal lover, someone you can tell that just loves nature and sustainability. He's made it his life's work as well. So just Jim's the man.
Oh, Jim is the man.
Also, the man waking up at 4:30 a.m. on the West Coast.
Yes, the man for multiple reasons. Yeah. That's a good point. He wakes up because the Forest Green Rovers games, especially when we have an early game on Saturday, he has to wake up. Actually, the match, I guess, would be like at 4:30. We had a 7:30 a.m. game, right?
Yeah,
that would have been 4:30 a.m. his time. He's a hero. He's a hero, Shimmy. And like you said, and just like Tom, you know, he's dedicated his life and his work to this green vegan space, which is awesome. He's dedicated his life to something that, you know, to a greater good, which is really, always, you know, we love that. It's awesome. And then, like you said, he's an animal lover. I think I edited that part out.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think you'll hear about all his all right, animals, sure, but sure. But Jim has, like, I forget how, you know.
He has, like, 14 pets, I think.
Yeah, like a bunch of rescue cats, a bunch of rescue dogs, and even a rescue squirrel. Yeah. So shout out to Jim. Do you think they say squirrel in the UK? I feel like that would be a word that they say completely different.
Like ladybug is ladybird over there?
Exactly.
Oh, or like, do you just mean pronunciation?
Like, either way, either that or just like Cheltenham and Tottenham.
Squirrel.
Cheltenham and Tottenham.
Squirrel.
Squirrel. That's a great word, though, by the way, to have anyone who's not a native English speaker say, from my experience. It's fantastic. Shout out to all my Greek friends who tried to say squirrel.
Nice. It's also like one of those things, I forget the name of the test in Blade Runner, where you want to test if something is like a robot.
Oh, yes.
Or a thing. You have them pronounce squirrel.
Oh, I love it. All right, let's roll to Jim, baby. Shout out to Blade Runner. Wasn't that, is that, does that take place in LA? Or is it just like...
It does. It takes place in LA of 2019, I think, of like two years ago.
All right, let's go, Jim Amos. Here we go. All right, we welcome to the pod our brother from LA, part of FGR America, Jim Amos. Welcome to the pod, Jim.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Boys. How are we?
Doing great. Doing great, man. Nice to finally chat with you, Jim. We've been chatting for a long time, you know, through Twitter, through Instagram, online, but it's so cool to finally, like, actually sort of meet you virtually. We're going to meet you in person very soon once the world gets back to normal. But yeah, very cool to meet you, Jim.
Thanks, you guys as well. And yes, we will get there hopefully this upcoming season. So fingers crossed, and maybe get a few of the FGR America supporters to go with us and make an event out of it.
That's going to be awesome. Yes, I cannot wait. As soon as things get cleared up over there, we're going to start talking. We'll put out some messaging. It would be so cool if we could, like, even as early as next August, maybe arrange a crew and head over there. But anyway, actually, so Jim, how did you get into FGR?
Well, our business, we have a vegan and plant-based marketing and PR business. So we work almost exclusively with vegan and plant-based companies. And we had a client that sells frozen vegan food in the UK. And I had noticed, you know, I knew a little bit about Forest Green Rovers, and then I noticed that they were looking for a food sponsor. So I got in touch with the CEO, Henry Stalins, and we were over there for something else. And I decided to go over and just meet him and bring him some samples and see if there was a connection there. And it ended up, they went in a different direction, which is fine. And Korn is a great sponsor and they make great products, so good for them. And then we kind of just ended up being friends and we would go back and forth. And I was always an English football fan from long ago. Our public television station in Boston when I was a little kid used to have Saturday Match of the Week. Yeah. And you know, I've always been a Chelsea fan as I grew up and then through my adult years. And then when I saw what they were doing with the Rovers and how much it kind of fit into our whole philosophy and everything, I thought this would be great to follow. And I love the story of it being just a small town team. And it really hits home when you go there because, you know, you have to go into Stroud off after two trains and then take the bus into Nailsworth. And then you literally do walk up through this residential area. And I remember when I met him, I'm walking through these people's front yard and I'm like, this can't be right. I mean, there can't be a major football team here. And all of a sudden, you take the corner and there's the, at the time, was just the New Lawn, but now Innocent New Lawn Stadium. And yeah, it's really, you know, a club on top of a hill. And it's what they've done with it is just phenomenal. And they're, you know, so supportive of sustainability and green measures and vegan products and vegan menu. It's you know, it was an easy club to follow. Yeah, and we had been out there. Actually, my wife and I got engaged in the Cotswolds. You know, kind of had like a little affinity for that area, so it wasn't like I was flying blind picking that club. So I kind of knew the area a little bit.
So you'd been in the Cotswolds before.
Yeah, one time before this. Yeah.
Oh wow!
And I don't think I knew of them at that time. You know, because we were up in the northern part of the Cotswolds. They were a little bit more in the south, so it wasn't like we drove past Nailsworth.
Yeah. Oh wow, that's cool. Yeah. That's very cool.
It's interesting. And you've
been to a game, right?
Yes, we went in December of 2019. And you know, talking about those great names of clubs, we saw them play Scunthorpe, you know, I would guess no if you guys played, is this a real Division II club name or not? I would probably say no, that can't possibly be a name, but it was. Henry and Dale met them and they were very nice. Lori and I watched the match and you know, it was just, it's a great experience. It really is. Yeah. It's just, you know, for those of us, especially in New York or LA, and you know, you're used to going to MetLife Stadium where there's 80,000 of your closest friends, to go there and everybody seems to know everyone and everybody knows all the players. I mean, even for the opposing team, and it's just a great atmosphere. It really is.
Well, Jim, so we invited you on here because you actually had a really an idea that I loved for a game, and you were like, "Oh, you and Chom should play," and I was like, "No, Jim, you should come on and play with us." So I love it. So, Jim, you're gonna host here. Could you tell us about this game?
Okay, this is the quiz sensation that's going to be sweeping the nation. It's the is this a UK football shirt sponsor of the past, or are we making it up?
So I love it.
We're going to have 5 1-point questions, and then the sixth one is a special 2-point bonus. So see if we can crown a winner here. So
I love it. This is going to be challenging because Sham and I, as we've been following, that's one of the other great things about League Two is the sponsors. The sponsors are all over the place, and I love it.
Yeah.
It.
It definitely is amazing, and you see stuff, and it's like, did they really think that that was a good idea to play? Yeah. All right, you ready for question number one, guys?
Let's do it.
Ready.
Okay, Chupa Chups. Is that a real football sponsor, or are we making it up?
Well, I'm gonna say it is.
I'm gonna agree with you, Shama. I think it is too. We just learned bantams. What, last pod?
Yeah, so right.
Chups is a word that do not know yet, but I think it's a British word. I'm going to say yes as well.
Well, you guys are off to a flying start because it actually is.
Let's go.
Nice.
Yeah.
So can you tell us what it is?
Yeah, what is it?
In the early 2000s, Sheffield Wednesday were sponsored. It's a Spanish lollipop company.
Okay. Well, I do know the Spanish verb chupa. So chupa is like you like suck on a lollipop.
Okay, and then here's your little piece of trivia you can amaze your friends with. Their logo was actually designed by Salvador Dali.
Really? Wow. Wait, like the company, the lollipop,
the
whatever
Chupa,
company.
Chupa Chups, whatever it is. Yeah. Chupa Chups, yeah. Oh, wow. The logo was designed by Salvador Dali, which I'm pretty sure is the only one in English football he has designed the logo for. So,
that's wild. That's a wild
fact. What a whim on that one.
Was it a melting lollipop?
I know these. All right.
Well, you guys are off to a good start. So one
Let's
for
go.
One.
Can only go down from here. That's fine.
No, okay. Okay. Number two is wet, wet, wet.
Wet, wet, wet.
That should be a Forest Green Rover sponsor because all the games we've watched, the wet stand, it's like a monsoon right. Every match we see at home. Venus and Nulon.
I like that.
Wet, wet. Okay, I'm gonna say no on this one.
I'm gonna say I don't know, man.
What? I know that Liverpool used to have a sponsor just called Candy, so they seem to love just nouns. So
I'm going, it's real. Right. What?
Okay, I'm going no.
Nathan takes the lead. That is real.
Let's go.
So in the early 90s, Clydebank FC, which is a Scottish team, were sponsored by the really wussy Scottish band Wet Wet Wet, who had their one and only hit with Love Is All Around, which was famously parried in the Love Actually movie.
So.
Oh, great kit. Yeah. Great kit. All right, we're ready for number three here. Yep.
Okay, number three is Acme Super Speed Vitamins.
Acme Super Speed
Vitamins. Okay, I've got my guess.
Okay. You know, Acme, again, I'm thinking Looney Tunes, so I feel like it could be, but it's not because I'm going to... Acme, I just think of Looney Tunes. So I'm going to say no again. Going with no again.
I'm going to say no as well, only because of numbers. Like, there've been two right in a row, like two actual sponsors in a row. I'm gonna say no for this
game
one.
Game theory.
I can't sneak anything by you guys. No, that is not a real one.
Let's go.
John, you hit on it. If you know your Warner's cartoons, you know the Wile E. Coyote always ordered from the Acme catalog. So
yeah, we would have heard about a player exploding on the pitch if that was the sponsor.
Yeah, so here you go. Okay, so three for Nathan, two for Sean. You guys are doing well. This is really impressive. Wow. Okay, number four is no smoking.
Ooh, I kind of think that is.
Yeah, I feel like they do more PSA. PSA in the UK more than they do over here, right?
But who controls the don't governments control the PSA? So wouldn't it be weird for like a government to sponsor a kit? I don't know, do they?
But it could be a smaller club in the UK, right? So maybe like the local government did have like a no smoking policy. I'm gonna say yes.
I'm going yes too.
You guys are rolling. I gotta tell you.
Let's go.
So apparently in the 1980s, West Brom Albion had such a problem with smoking in the stands that they actually had to do a big circle with a cigarette there with a line through it.
I love it.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
I feel like these older kit designs and sponsorships are much more creative and out there. I wish they would bring more of that stuff back.
I know.
Oh my God, Sham, you got to see this kit. It's outstanding. It literally is a cigarette with just a circle and the cross through. Amazing sponsor.
Yeah. Okay, your final question is the bonus for 2 points.
Bonus. So, Sham,
okay, so this is my chance
to catch up.
You ready?
Ready.
Poo jeans.
Wait, say it. Poo?
Poo, as in poo.
Poo jeans. We need some American spelling bee sort of rules here where we can ask for the etymology and like use it in another sentence.
Yeah.
Well, please don't.
All right.
Please don't poo in your jeans there. That,
oh, okay. Okay. There we go.
That actually is what you thought it was.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Three, two, one.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I said it too early, but anyway.
Right, okay. I was going to say yes too. So. It's outlandish enough to be true.
Well, you got it again.
And let's go. Let's go.
And the reason it was the bonus question is because I went off the board and didn't do UK. In 1982, AC Milan apparently didn't get the irony of putting poo on the front of their jersey.
I love it.
They did that. And ironically, or maybe not, they got relegated that year. So apparently, that level of play. Sponsor that year, so.
Oh yeah, I'm looking it up. Nice.
You were six. Way to go.
Wow, man. Killed it. Ran the table, Nathan. Wow.
I'm bowing. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I don't know how I did so well, but I'll take it. So Jim, I cannot wait to go. We're going to meet in person. We're going to watch a match in person, either in Nailsworth or somewhere else in the UK on away day, or in New York City or in LA when our paths cross at some point. Cannot wait. So happy to like finally connect with you, Jim. We're getting FGR America off the ground. There's so many, you know, people after launching it, we found so many people all over the country who are really into it. So that's awesome. Awesome to see. Yeah, Jim, this is awesome. Thank you so much, Jim.
Well, it sounds like a plan to get together and go invade the new lawn. So
let's go.
Friendly invasion, of course.
So. All right, guys. Thanks, Nathan.
Cool.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, Shimmy. That was our episode. Wow, massive episode. So many things on this, but it was a blast for us to make because we got to meet all these, you know, awesome people: Ash, Tom, Jim. So massive thank you to Ash, Tom, and Jim. Shimmy,
thank you guys.
Yeah, Shimmy, we're down to the home stretch. Two matches left. We gotta win them, Shimmy. We gotta win them.
What a season it's been, but it ain't over. We gotta win them, like you said. We have it. We have the maturity. I think we have the drive. We just need that little bit of luck in that final shot, that final ball that just lets us, you know, hear that net ripple. So I have faith in them, though, man.
I missed that sound, Shimmy. I missed that
last
sound.
Last two games of the season, leave it all out there. You know, we got to play our hearts out even to get into the playoffs. But man, a greater group of guys isn't out there that would deserve that opportunity. And at Tranmere's expense, too. Or maybe, you know, setting up a rematch with them, possibly, right, at the end of the playoffs. So, yeah. So I believe in it. Let's do this.
Perfectly said, Shimmy. Perfectly said. This is just a phenomenal group of guys. I want them to get promoted so bad. For us, for the fans, but also for them. So let's give it everything we got, man. Two matches left. Let's give it everything we got. Up the Vegan Rovers. We are FGR.
We are FGR, and we got to go with it, right? We have to
raise hail,
praise
Dale, yeah, brother. Take us home, Big Time Tommy, except I'm probably not going to put Big Time Tommy anymore because it takes too much time to get the audio. So maybe there will, maybe there won't be Big Time Tommy after this. Find out. Stay tuned for the next 5 seconds.
For the chilling conclusion in 5 seconds.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, guys.